board. I think all the cards were picked up. There's about $1,000 left out there to go. And so I figured I'd wait maybe through, I think there's four $250 ones and some $100 ones. But I thought I would for next Sunday take those and break them down into small denominations and then try to move them. So the money's been coming in towards that, and that might help to clear that up and get that taken care of. The target date on that was November 28th, so we still got about a month to go for those to have that taken care of. And we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to give today. Thank you for the faithfulness of God's people in their giving. God, we give out of a heart of love today. We love you. Thank you for our salvation. And thank you for our missionary families that serve around the world. Be with Patty Bullion in New Zealand. Have your hand upon her along with the other missionaries there in New Zealand. Be with the Pattons and also the Browns. Have your hand upon them. And God, we just keep them safe. We pray you'll be with Jacques and Marie and their ministry down in Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Be with the national pastors as things try to get settled down there. We thank you for Jacques and Marie's safety there in Florida, but we pray for the national pastors and the churches that are down there, for the orphanage and all the work that's going on, and everything seems to be safe so far. And God, we pray your continued hand will be upon those people as that country tries to get rid of the unrest and the gangs and all that's going on down there, that the gospel would be able to go forth in even a stronger way than it has before, and we can continue to see people saved and the church is enriched there in that area. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Amen. I like to do a song that's really dear to my heart. It's written by Dottie Rambo. The holy hills of heaven call match his bride across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills of home keep calling me. This house of flesh is but hearts are free, and from the throne the Savior beckons, and the heels of home start calling me. This house of flesh is but
Dale. Appreciate that.
Well, I love
Let's take our Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 135, tonight for a few minutes, and we're going to take a look at the Psalms. This is tonight. We'll wrap up the month of October. Tomorrow we'll start into the month of November. Whenever I think of November, I always think of the time of the year that enters into a time of Thanksgiving, a time to count your blessings, a time to get together with family and friends for the Thanksgiving holiday. And a lot of things to be thankful for. There are some psalms that are put here in place. I would call them the Thanksgiving Psalms. And I think it's worth taking a look at here. And I would encourage you tonight. Matter of fact, you might want to think about it. If you were to write a psalm yourself, what would you put in it? What things were you thankful for? Matter of fact, I don't know about you, but today, as I knew I was going to be preaching on that this tonight, and looking here in the scripture, there's a lot of things I think we can look back. This last 2 years has been pretty unusual, to say the least, with all that's gone on. And yet, in the middle of all that, there's much that we can find to be thankful for and to praise the Lord for. I thank God for our church. I thank God for our Savior. I thank God that through this, you know, the church has continued, God has continued to provide for the church and the church families, and that along the way. There's been some trials along the way, but God continues to provide and take care of, and we can lean and trust on Him. And definitely, when you look back in church history, I never would have dreamed that we would have gone through some of the things we've gone through in the last couple of years. I think it will forever leave its mark on Christianity and on church work, and some churches will quite never be the same. And that as they look back on this year. So what are you thankful for when you think about it? If you were to write a psalm tonight, what would you put in your psalm that you're thankful for? Who would be the first? Anybody? Pardon?
Family.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could start right there and make Psalm 151 and write a psalm, write your own family, and just write down your manifold blessings that God has given to you with your family over these last several months and times. What else would you put in your psalm? Put in God's grace, yeah, His manifold grace and His love and kindness, and put in the psalm and put that in. That's a great way to look at it. Somebody else? Tony? Yeah, absolutely. You always got to get back to your salvation and thank the Lord for His long suffering, His patience with all of us, and God's salvation. And I don't know about you, but nothing thrills my heart more anymore than seeing, just like Ari this morning, that come to know the Lord as their person. Somebody coming face to face with the Savior, making that decision to, yes, I will trust Christ. And boy, there's nothing sweeter than to listen to a lost person pray and ask God to come into their heart, forgive them their sin, and be regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a tremendous thing. And absolutely put that in our psalm. What else in the Thanksgiving, if you were to write a psalm, what would you put in it? Brother Earl? Yeah, absolutely. How we can trust in God's faithfulness. And boy, He is. He is faithful. Even sometimes when we are being stretched to the limit, or we're not sure where it's headed or how things are all going to work out, God's always faithful and doing that. We'll go to Dixie and then down here to Dale. Dixie? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. And for Scott and the blessing. I'll just throw this out here. We're going to take in the last Sunday of this year, on the last Sunday in December, we're going to put up on the PowerPoint and the screen, we're going to recognize and honor all those that have gone to heaven this year. Bunny McDonald was one. Jim Bargo, another. Scott Monroe, another. And Roz, we have all those written down in the office. So we'll get them, and there'll be a picture on the PowerPoint, day of their birth, day of their passing, on to glory. And just as kind of a way in memory, just as thank the Lord, God puts certain people in our lives at a certain time, and all those people. Boy, I miss Bunny around here at First Baptist. And that, what a blessing that lady was. Jim Bargo was one of the best greeters that I ever saw here, and he was such a blessing to be out the front door. Scott was a huge blessing, and just being able to be in fellowship. And Scott always represented Christ in a way that I admired, because I knew there was days and times he was in pain and struggling with the cancer on the journey, and you never heard I never heard a complaining word out of his mouth, and he just always was just faithful and the struggle, but he's not struggling anymore. Yep. Yeah, amen. So in our psalm, we'd put the Lord Jesus. Without him, we wouldn't be here. Yes, sir. Okay, help me out. I couldn't hear all of it. Yeah, there you go. Thank God for food and water, for the home, the shelter that he gives to us. What a blessing that is. Some things we really do take for granted in life. And you don't know, and you really don't appreciate that till you go somewhere and you see people and countries that don't have the food, the water, the shelter, the things that we have. What a blessing that is. Angie? For good health. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. For good health, for God's health, and every day he gives us the strength and the ability to do what we do, and for employment and God's provisions and taking care of our families along the way. God has definitely been good in that area. Devin? Yeah, yeah, praise the Lord. Their education can go on, and there's been a lot of struggles, in the last couple of years. So that gives them stability and through all that. And praise the Lord for that. Anybody else? I don't want to leave you out tonight. But if you might want to think about that as you start tomorrow into Thanksgiving this time of the year. I mean, it's only about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks away. And take a little bit of time in your devotions. And when you're having a devotion, to write out your own psalm, what your psalm means to you and the blessings you have. We're going to look at a few right here that's been put in the Bible. I would call these some Thanksgiving psalms, and why God put them in the Bible, I think, for a reason. We're just going to look at a few of them here tonight. Well, Psalm 135 is a song of praise and for God's wonderful works and all of his nature and history. And all the things that he gives. Notice how that the psalmist, when he writes this, how he ties into the great God that's above all other gods. He says, praise ye the Lord, and Psalm 135:1, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. And for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. And whatsoever the Lord pleased, and that did he in heaven and earth, and the seas and the deep places, he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and he maketh lightnings. Notice how he kind of in verse 7 now slides into creation and says here, he maketh the lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, and who sent tokens and wonders in the midst of thee, and O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for it a heritage unto Israel's people. Verse 13, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants and the idols of the heathen, are silver and gold, and the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. And they that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel, and bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. And bless the Lord, O house of Levi, ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord, bless thee, be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth in Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. So this psalm shows us right here that we need to put praise into our thanksgiving and time, and God's character and God's sovereignty and God's deliverance here, and how that God is unique in that nature. And notice the servants here that stand in the court. This was really addressed to the priest. And then to the Levites. Notice in verse 3, I think we could say this in every psalm, the Lord is good. Even in the tough times, God is good. For the Lord is good, and then we have to sing praises unto Him. So even when the challenges come along the way, the struggles of life come along the way, the hard times come along the way, the valleys come along, we can still find good things that we can look for and praise the Lord for. Notice in verse 4, the Lord has chosen. It's really referring here to God's unique selection of the offering of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to enjoy God's covenant blessing with them, and that the Lord in verse 5, He is great. And notice the true God of Israel here is comparing Him to the false gods of all the other nations. So our God is a great and mighty God. Notice the vapors in verse 7 to ascend, referring to the water cycle of earthly evaporation, condensation of the clouds. You know, I realize here recently we've had a lot of rain, a lot of moisture. And, you know, now you're probably not too far away from getting a little bit of snow. And all God's people said, amen. Oh, me. And so when you think about the rain, you think about the snow, you got even the ice coming, you got all that. I mean, it doesn't do any good at all to complain about that and say, oh, me, oh, God, what, you know. You're living in Michigan. This is Canton, Michigan. And that stuff's going to come. You know it's going to come. It's going to come before you know it. And so when it comes, praise the Lord. You can put that in your psalm of praise and adoration. God, look how beautiful that snow is and the rain and all that, you know, without that. So he talks about all that he's created, the vapors to ascend. And then notice in verse 8 how he identifies the smiting the firstborn in Egypt, both of man and beast. What a tragedy that was, but yet what a blessing it allowed Israel to be able to be in a position to flee Egypt and head towards the promised land. Notice as he goes on down through there, several things. He talks about Old Testament history and things which was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Verse 19, verse 20, the categories here of Israel and Aaron and Levi. You who fear the Lord all refer to the nation of Israel as a whole, and along with the priesthood, Aaron and Levi, and true believers in Him. So when you think about Psalm 135, a lot about creation, you got to keep in mind, this was their Old Testament psalm book, and so there's a lot of things we can identify too. And if you look at Psalm 136, it's kind of a carryover of Psalm 135. This psalm, though, does something a little bit different, and I want you to see it here, and when it talks about His mercy endureth forever. Every phrase, notice this now, O give thanks unto the Lord in verse 1, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, O give thanks unto the God of the gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. You know, I don't know, I was always kind of taught repetition is the key to learning. You ever wonder why the psalmist, every verse, puts this in there? Verse 5, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, the sun, the moon, the stars, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon, the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. And to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. Boy, you can see the history of Israel right down through here. And with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, verse 12, for His mercy endures forever. And to Him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through that midst of the midst of it, His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. O Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. For even a heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembereth us in our low estate, he says there, "For his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, and who giveth food to all flesh." There a moment ago, someone mentioned food and things to praise the Lord for. "Who giveth the food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." What a walk through a little bit of the history of Israel and what God did and provided for them. I don't know about you, but I could see right now, even as we went down through, I don't think you and I have ever lived through a time when we've had something quite like this coronavirus. And I think we could say the same thing. God provided along the way, and his mercy endureth forever. God provided food, and God's mercy endureth forever. God provided shelter, and his mercy endureth forever. God provided a church for us to assemble to worship in, and his mercy endureth forever. Do you realize that out of probably 2 out of 5 churches across America, many of them will not survive the coronavirus coming out of this coronavirus? Many have been impacted down through the difficult challenges. Those that were not on a solid footing, or those that maybe perhaps not financially solid, or not in a position to be able to weather that storm. I don't know about you, but I think we could all honestly say tonight, God's mercy endureth forever. Count your blessings. There's a lot that we can be thankful for, and Psalm 136 reminds us about that. So if you look at this chapter, it's really a chapter that calls us to praise. In verse 4 down to the end of the chapter, it's really a time to praise him for all of his creation. But then also there was a lot of time spent in verse 10 to 15 here on God's deliverance of the nation of Israel, God delivering Israel through some challenging times. And then God's care, in verse 16 to verse 22 here, God's omnipotent, omniscient care as he watches over us and the gifts that he gives to us along the way. And then the praise. We cannot put out enough praise that would do respect for God and all that he's done for us. There is so much to be thankful for along the way. So this Psalm 136, very similar to Psalm 135, in here as he breaks this down. But notice a little bit of the shift now. In Psalm 137, this is a psalm about the Babylonian captivity. And when you think about the captivity, and I don't know about you, but you know, you kind of felt like never would I have guessed. We were out 9 Sundays during the coronavirus. I was never in favor of going out. Our crowd and congregation kept dwindling down and dwindling down for the safety of everybody. We thought, well, it's time. I thought, well, okay, we'll be out for a couple weeks. And then another Sunday go by, and then another Sunday go by. And God continued even during that time to provide for the church and the ministry of the church and the church family and that. And after about 9 Sundays, we said, that's it, that's enough. We're going back to the house of worship, back to the house of God. And even through that, God was good to us during those times. So here, this psalm is really a psalm about being in captivity. And notice what he says. By the rivers of Babylon, the psalmist says, there we sat down, yea, we wept, and we remembered Zion. What a way to start out, isn't it? To think that, you know, you're taken out of your home country, you're in a foreign land, you're in a foreign country, you sit down and you think about back home, Jerusalem back home, Zion back home, and the Bible says they just wept and they remembered what it was like in those days. Notice it says here in verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. It's kind of like the music dies out. It's kind of like when they went into captivity, it forever impacted that generation of Jews and during the Babylonian captivity. He said, for there they that carried us away captive required of us, though, a song, and they that wasted us required us of mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And so even during that day, during that time, they didn't let go of the songs of Jerusalem, of Zion, and the Messiah and the Lord. They remembered their heritage that they had in the Lord. And so he says here, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Boy, what do you think about that? And remember their roots. You know, there's probably never been more of a displaced people than the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Through the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, the Medo-Persian Empire captivity, and taken out of their country and all that they've gone through. And it says here, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Verse 7, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth the little ones against the stones. So when you look at this psalm here, it's really a psalm about lamentations. You know, you think about Jeremiah's lamentations. It's really a psalm about, it's a good thing to, I don't know if you journal, or notes or whatever, but I think it's a good thing to journal notes and to write down, especially if you're going through something. Journaling is a great way for God the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. And if you're in the midst of a trial or testing or tribulation or a heartache or a pain or struggle, when God the Holy Spirit, I have journals that I've woken up at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and you sit and you get your Bible, you look at something, and you just journal your thoughts or your notes. And what is really interesting is when you, maybe years later on, as time moves on and you go through whatever it is you're going through, you look back and you look at your journal and you say, man, I walked through that. And this is what God said to me. This is what God spoke to me. This is the scripture that God gave to me during that time. I think journaling, if you've never journaled, you're missing out on a blessing. And it doesn't mean you have to journal every little thing of every little day all along the way. But it is a great way to journal and allow the Holy Spirit to give you things that he impresses. I mean, did you ever wake up at 4 in the morning, you can't sleep, and you might as well get up and get your Bible, look at something and think about it and journal and put your thoughts down on paper. And what a great way for the Lord to speak to us. So here you see the lamentations and then the conditions during the captivity in verse 5 and 6, and then the imprecations here in verse 7, 8, and 9. So the rivers of Babylon here are the Tigris and the Euphrates River. And that, notice the Bible says we wept here. They even wept when the exile was over and the second temple was being built, and that was how deep their sorrow was. Zion was the greatest place, Jerusalem, the greatest city on earth, the dwelling place of God on earth, and that was destroyed by the Babylonians, and it meant a lot. Hanging our harps in captivity, there was no use for joy. I don't know if you ever had the depths of your soul or the depths of a trial or the depths of what you're going through, and it's like there's no song in your heart, no song in your soul, no song and no joy. So this captivity was very difficult on the Jewish people, talking about who carried us away. And in verse 4, how shall we sing? It's kind of a rhetorical question, isn't it? And basically saying we cannot. The Lord's Song, a unique way to refer to divine inspiration of the Psalms, and that's really what it is. The Psalms are the Old Testament psalm book of the nation of Israel, and you got to look at it that way. And their refusal in verse 5 and 6 to sing was not caused by either of the two unthinkable situations. They forgot Jerusalem, and they did not have Jerusalem as their chief joy, and their worst punishment should be imposed if any of a combination of those factors were to become true. Jerusalem is the heart of God, is the city of David, and that. Notice he talks about the sons of Edom here. The Edomites had been allied with the Babylonians in the fall and the destruction of Jerusalem, and the psalmist prayed for that which the Lord had always promised, that the day of Jerusalem and that. And so I'll tell you what, I don't know if you ever listened to that song, but I love that song that I first heard it from the Hoppers when they were in our church years ago. And remember that singing Jerusalem and the lady that sang that in that group? It's a powerful thing. I know John and Cassandra down at Bronson and Debbie's church down there, she sings that song of Jerusalem. And what a powerful message in that. So look here, Psalm 138. This psalm was written by David. Short 8 verses. Psalm of thanksgiving. But, you know, probably nobody praised the Lord more than David. He said here in verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple, praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, and they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And though the Lord is high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. David says in verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And what a great psalm here. David really gives individual praise in verse 1 and 2 and 3 there, and which we all should do that, individually praise God. You have your own individual walk with the Lord and things that you can be thankful for. And so David here kind of emphasizes the individual praise. And then he talks about the nation of Israel in verse 4 and verse 5 and that. And so talking about these gods, referring to the pagan royalty, the idol worship, His God is greater than any of those gods. Notice the word here, the holy temple. The tabernacle, since Solomon's temple has not been yet built here. Your word above your name, meaning God's latest revelation here, exceeded all previous revelation about God. And so David was an interesting Bible character. And David sees himself as the lowly and his enemies as proud. Notice the humbleness of David, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, and the proud he knoweth afar off. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, I don't know anybody who probably had more trouble in life probably than David did. Some of it he created himself, some of it God took him through a journey and that. But David praised the Lord. David had much to be thankful for. David was one that was always to praise God. And so you can find a lot of encouragement by looking at the life of David here. And so look at this personal psalm. Psalm 139, and we're going to stop at Psalm 139, is really a psalm of David also. And I love this psalm because this psalm is written by David that expresses his all that God even knew him. Think about that. And the all of the, how God come down and would take his time and his interest in a person such as you and I. And even to the minutest detail, there's nothing God does not know about your life and what's going on. Every little detail of your life, God knows all about it. And verse 1, David said this, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. So God knows everything. Your downsetting, your uprising, and understanding even what we think, even without saying it. Thou compass my path, he says in verse 3, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Now think about that as you and I live our lives. Everything we do, God knows all about it. Every little detail of what we do and how we live, God knows that. And verse 4, for there's not a word in my tongue, David said, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So man, every thought that goes through your brain, every word that comes out your tongue, God knows all about that. Thou hast beset me, David said in verse 5, behind, before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? We just studied that and looked at that on the natural attributes of God. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, and he is everywhere present, omnipresent. And David recognized here, he said, whither shall I flee from thy presence? No matter where I go, God, you're there. He says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, you say, well, is God in hell? I had somebody recently ask me this about this verse. No, he's making the point here that no matter where you go in this earth, in this life, God's presence is always there. It's one of his natural attributes that you cannot escape the presence of the Lord, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. He said, David said this, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even if there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me, if I say, surely darkness, the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike to thee. Think about that. We look at it today. I don't know. It can almost be depressing if you let it, to look out there, and at 5:30 at night, it's dark. By 7:30, you're ready to go to bed and call it a night, right? and net. So, I mean, what is it about in the summertime? You know, it's daylight until 9:30 at night, and it's refreshing. The sun's out and the light's out and everything. But when God looks at it, he doesn't see night and day. God sees everything through this. And so when you look at it here, he says that surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day, he says. And the darkness as the light are both alike to thee. So when God looks at it, you know, we look at light and we see light. We look at dark and see dark. God looks at it. It's all the same to him. He can see right through that. For thou hast possessed my reins, David said. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully... What a great verse. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thy eyes did see my substance, ye being imperfect. And in the book of all my members were written, which is in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. Now think about that. Think about that verse. How precious are God's thoughts. Also are thy thoughts unto me. You know, sometimes we got to get outside our realm of thinking. How do you think God's thoughts? You got to get in his word. You got to get in the Bible. You got to consume the word of God. You want to think God's thoughts. You want to think like God thinks. Then think more like what the Bible has to say and consume the word of God. And David was strong on the word of God. And notice the thoughts. He said, how precious are those thoughts unto me? How great is the sum of them? And if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I am awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Well, you know, what, you ever hear that comment? You know, love what God loves, hate what God hates. Well, David's saying right here, there are some that speak against the name of God. Do not I hate them, O Lord, and that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You want a great verse? There's one for you right there, verse 23. Search me, David says, O God, know my heart, try me. And what did the Bible says, teaches that David was a man after God's own heart. David had a pure heart for the Lord. Did he mess up? Yes, he did. Did he commit sin? Yes, he did. Did he fall short many times? Yes, he did. But man, I'll tell you what, he had a heart for God. And he had a praise in his heart and praise on his lips. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So David was a man that rejoiced in the Lord. And it's a great psalm here. So this psalm by David really expresses his awe that God even knew him, even to the minutest detail. And David might have remembered the Lord's words. The Lord looks, though, upon the heart. And that's why it's so interesting that David was a man after God's own heart. So in this psalm, the other night, Wednesday night, we were in a Bible study, and we're talking about the natural attributes of God. And we listed four of them. The omnipotence of God, the omnipresence of God, the omniscience of God, and he is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present at one time. But also, he is eternal, and God is eternal. So when we think in time, God is eternal. That's a natural attribute. What we're going to get into this Wednesday night is his moral attributes, and there's four of those. And one of them, I loved it today. It was on the PowerPoint. It was in one of the songs. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, how great is that? This song is talking about the moral attributes of our God. It's talking about the holiness of God. Remember that this morning? And the one song, I don't remember the name of it, was talking about the holiness of God, and God's holiness, and his holy, 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 and in his presence. That is a moral attribute of God. You and I are not holy. He is holy. So it really talks about here in this psalm, David points out the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, the omnipotence of God, and that God knows everything about David. So if God knew everything about David, God knows everything about you and I. And it says in verse 1, he searched me as it was in David's life. And so God was always watching over David, and thus it was impossible to do anything over which God was not a spectator. So he knows and he sees everything, and therefore we ought to praise him and to realize how great. And so David expresses his amazement here at the infinite. Think about that, the infinite. You and I are finite. God is infinite. And you and I cannot think like God thinks. We don't have the ability to do that. We read the Word of God. We may try to think His thoughts, but God is infinite. And David expresses in verse 17, 18 here, the amazement at the infinite mind of God compared to the limited mind of man, especially as it relates to the physiology of human life. And so it's interesting here. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I'd encourage you in your devotions this month. You're starting into November 1 tomorrow. Just write down your own psalm. You can call it Psalm 151 or whatever you want to do it, and begin to write out your own thoughts and things that you're thankful for and appreciative for, and let God, the Holy Spirit, speak to your heart during this month of Thanksgiving, during the month of November. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. Thank you for the Lord's Day today. God, thank you for your praise and thanksgiving, and thank you that your mercy does endure forever. And Lord, we thank you that. Thank you for the life of David. Thank you for these psalms that always encourages us, always allows us to be able to look into the Scripture and look around us and see the great creation that you have made. And God, and to see your natural attributes and your moral attributes, and how holy and just and true and perfect that you are. And yes, God, like David said here, search our hearts, try us, and see if there be any wicked way in us. And God, if there is, that we would easily confess that and turn that over to you. May our hearts always be tender and soft towards you, God, that we would walk in fellowship with you, and that we would do our best more each and every day to allow this finite mind that we have to learn more about the infinite mind of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. See you in November.